So we're continuing with discussing Shalach Manos and the Gemara's three stories. We dealt with one of the three stories about Shalach Manos. So just to review, we saw that when they instituted the concept of Shalach Manos, this is the first source, they first instituted the concept of Shalach Manos without Matanas Lavionim, and then only afterwards did they institute Shalach Manos with Matanas Lavionim. That's there's some sort of change that occurred, that now there's Shalach Manos with Matanas Lavionim. And part of our discussion is going to be about the relationship between Shalach Manos and Matanas Lavionim. Are they the same? Are they different? Each story is going to teach us something different about Shalach Manos. But at least in terms of yesterday, we first dealt with, not yesterday, last week, we dealt with the issue about the relationship between Shalach Manos and Matanas Lavionim. And we saw, this is just as a review, we saw that when it comes to Shalach Manos, you have to give two manos, two portions to one person. That's what you have to do, two portions to one person. And with regards to Matanos Lavionim, you have to give two portions, or really two matanos, two gifts, to two people, which really means one gift to one person and then one gift to another person. Right? So it's not two gifts to one person. By Shalach Manos, it's two gifts to one person. By Matanos Lavionim, it's one gift to one person and then another gift to another person. And so the big question is why? Why is there this difference between Shalach Manos and Matanas Lavionim? That by Shalach Manos it's two gifts to one person, and Matanas Lavionim it's one and then one. That was what we dealt with last week. And we had two approaches. One approach was the Ran, which was to say that really Shalach Manos and Matanas Lavionim are very similar. These are two very similar ideas where you have to give gifts to all of society. You have to give to the poor and to the rich. Those are his two categories, the poor and to the rich. And it's just that we give two portions to one person, to the rich, to the person that's wealthy, because that's what's viewed as significant to the wealthy person, to give two gifts. To the poor person, it's enough to give one. If you give one gift to the poor person, so then that suffices. To that poor person, it's viewed as significant. Yes?
Just trying to, we didn't explain why, according to the Ran, Matanas Lavionim would apply to two. Why you would have to give
so I think Eitan suggested, and I also saw this in Achronim, that we're going to give the same amount to both parties. So you'll spend the same amount for both parties. So once you're giving two for Shalach Manos, so then you'll have to give two for Matanas Lavionim. If you're giving two for Matanas Lavionim, so then you would have to give to two
so
different people.
To the Ran, you do have to do both. You have to give an equal $100 of Matanas Lavionim and $100
exactly.
of Shalach Manos.
Yes.
But you do have to do both.
You have to do both, yes.
But
as opposed to what?
I'm saying ultimately I'm giving four gifts to four people, just two of them.
Not to four people.
I'm sorry, four gifts to three people.
Yeah.
He agrees to that. That is four gifts to three people.
Yeah.
And two to the rich and one to each poor.
One to each poor, correct.
But to me, it doesn't seem logical. Why should I give more to the rich? Why am I giving more to the rich?
We're not talking about in general throughout the year. We're talking about specifically on Purim.
Yeah,
because
on
Purim,
we give one as a symbol of friendship, then that's enough. Because
so according to the Ran,
friendship is enough one, and instead we should give more to the poor person because it's not only friendship; it's also a question of need.
So apparently, this halacha is not about need. There's a separate halacha of tzedakah. That's not our discussion. Definitely, tzedakah is a high priority, but this whole concept of matanas lavionim is not about need. It's not about tzedakah. It's all about whatever the underlying principle is, but it's about giving a significant gift. So a significant gift to one person is different than the type of gift that you have to give to one person is different than you would give to somebody else. The way they'll perceive it would be different. You wouldn't give a wealthy person the same gift that you would give a poor person.
Significance is in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly.
I have the receiver.
That was one approach that we took. And that's the approach of the Ran. And then we saw, by turning the page, we saw the same story. One was based on the account of the Bavli, and one was based on the account of the Talmud Yerushalmi, where, without getting into the details, it seemed to imply that Shalach Manos is different from Matanas Lavionim. Matanas Lavionim is about giving the basics, because you also have to give, you have to give to the poor, you can't ignore the poor, we have to give the basics to the poor. Shalach Manos is about going above and beyond. The reason why we give two portions is because really one portion is enough. What's a portion? A portion is your main course for the meal. That would be what a portion is. Definitely that's what it, that would a portion would be for, that is what, in terms of paskening, that is what a portion would be for a poor person. When we give matanas levyonim, so then we're supposed to give the value of how much of a meal for that poor person. To give double that is to go above and beyond. When you're giving shalach manos, you're supposed to go above and beyond. Why? So we suggested that that's a sign of friendship. You're not giving it to them because they need it. When it comes to shalach manos, if they're not poor, they don't really need it. They have their own meal. They can make their own meal for that night. They don't need your meal. So the very fact that you're giving it to them to begin with is already something which is unnecessary. They don't really need your gift. So the whole concept of shalach manos, of giving a double portion, just highlights the idea that it's not necessary. I'm going to give you not just what you, not just for the main course. I'm not going to give you just what you need for that meal. I'm going to give you double that. I'm going to give you way more than what's needed, because the whole concept to begin with is not necessary. Shalach manos is, let's say, it's an idea of friendship, about increasing friendship. So you don't need anything, and I'm going to give it to you anyways, just as a gesture of friendship. So the way we're going to accomplish that is by giving double the amount of what a normal meal constitutes. It's going to be going about, it's about going above and beyond what's necessary. None of it's really necessary, because the person can have their own meal, but it's about going above and beyond a regular meal. So that's what we dealt with last time. So now I wanted to go through the next two stories in the Gemara. They might relate and they may not relate. Each story highlights fascinating ideas with regards to shalach manos. So we'll go through each one. This is now in the bottom of page 2. So here's the story. Rabba Shadalei Lamari Barmar Biad Abaye. So Rabba sent to Mari Barmar in the hands of Abaye. He sent it through a messenger. Parenthetically, there was an opinion which is quoted to say that you have to send shalach manos through a messenger. There is such an opinion that's quoted. If you look inside at that opinion, so he doesn't really say that in his conclusion. He suggests it, but then rejects it. So there's no need to send it through a messenger. But there was this concept floating around that you have to send it through a messenger. So it was rejected.
And what was the reason for?
Oh, so what's the reason for this approach, which is really rejected? And that's what happened here, right? And the reason in the story, Rabba is sending it to Mari Barmar through Abaye. It's through a messenger. So what would be the idea of sending it through a messenger?
To maintain some anonymity, so the guy doesn't really know where it comes from.
Whoa.
That's the opposite of what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
We'll discuss that. We'll discuss that case also. We'll discuss that case.
Involve a third person, because it actually, the more people you involve in this friendship creating and cementing process, the more that it's like known to occur, and sort of it's more of a public thing.
Okay, that's an interesting idea, that it's more public, more people are involved. That's definitely, I hear that as a suggestion. Any other, how does a person react when they get a gift in the mail, as opposed to I see them on the street and I'm going around with my shalach manos and I bump into them?
I know that there was that the intention was directly to give to them.
Yeah, so it's true. When I could go directly to you and give you a gift. It's definitely possible that my intention the whole time is definitely possible that I'm giving you the gift. But if I send a messenger, so then it's clear. It's without question that it's not just I happened to bump into you and you gave me shalach manos, so now I have to give you shalach manos. It's not. It's clear that that's not what's going on. If I do it through a messenger, so then the intent, it is certain through the intent that the intent is that I want to give it to you, because I'm sending a messenger to go ahead
to you
and giving it to you. That is another option. I also hear that the reason that it makes it more public. But there's also that...
mutually exclusive.
No, they're not mutually exclusive, yeah. But this opinion happens to be rejected. It's,
I still notice sometimes people send often their children to give the...
Well, that's to get more people involved. That's to get a lot of people involved.
That's because they're sitting in the car.
And they're sitting in the car, yeah.
That is a minhag, though. That is a minhag.
Yeah, it is a minhag. It's part of chinuch to get the kids involved. Okay, anyway, so Rabba sent to Mari Bar Mar through Abaye. He sent it through a messenger. So what did he send him to Mari Bar Mar? Mala taska de kashva umali kisa... So he sent them a sack full of dates and also roasted flour. Right? A sack full of dates and roasted flour, which is not all that significant. It's just a sack of dates and a cup of roasted flour. So Amar Le Abaye, Abaye said back to Rabba, Hashta Amar Mari, Ichakla Malka Lahava. Dikula mitzavare lo nachas. So Abaye now responds back to Rabba and he says, Mari, the one that you're sending it to, will say the following. Even if a farmer becomes the king, the basket doesn't come off of his neck. Doesn't come from his neck.
You can take the kid out of the... Is that?
Yeah.
That what? I don't know. You can take the... King out of no, you can take the farmer out of the
field.
The field, but you can't take the field out of the farmer.
Once a farmer, always a farmer.
Once a farmer, always a farmer. Exactly, yeah. So why is he saying this? Because Rabba became the head of the yeshiva. Rabba was very poor, but he became the head of the yeshiva, and so Abaye is responding back, and he's responding to Rabba who sent him, which is also interesting. But he's telling Rabba, the one who's sending him, that listen, he's going to respond back by saying that you're maintaining your old ways, even though you're the head of the yeshiva, but you're still poor. So Mari is going to respond back that he still maintains his old ways of being a poor person, and he was still poor.
Or was he still cheap?
No, he was poor. He was still poor, even as the head of the yeshiva. He was still poor. Okay, so that's what Abaye says back to Rabba. Then, Hadar Shadar Laihu, so then Mari Barmar then sends back to Rabba, Mala Taska de Zangavila, Umala Kasa de Pilpalasa, Aricha. So he sends him back a sack full of ginger and a cup full of long peppers, which was viewed as a lot better of a gift. So Mari Bar Mar sends him back a better gift. So Amar Mar, so Abaye, he's commenting quite often here. He says, Ana Shadri li Chulya v'ihu Shadri li Churfa. So what's Rabba going to respond back? Rabba is going to say that I sent him sweet items and he's sending me like ginger. He's sending me... Pungent ones. So Abaye is responding back and forth, but just to focus on the gifts that are being given. So let's focus on the gifts that are being given. And the main question we're going to have is, why is the Gemara quoting this story? It's not just for nothing that the Gemara is quoting this story. Why is the Gemara quoting this story? So what happened? Rab is a poor person. He sends to Mar Bar Mar a gift which is deserving to a poor person. He gives him not such a great gift. Mari Bar Mar is not poor. And what does he send back? An expensive gift. He sends back an expensive gift. So that's what's going on. Okay, so what can we learn from this story?
The gift should be given according to the person who's receiving it, not the person who's giving it.
Why do you say that?
Well, that's the opposite.
It's the opposite. Isn't it the opposite?
Yeah.
The poor person, Rabba, who's the head of the yeshiva, the poor person gives a poor gift. A gift.
But neither of them were happy. So what I'm saying is that you should give a gift according to the person who's going to receive it.
Yeah. So.
Receive it with more.
So I was wondering about that. I wasn't sure about that. they weren't happy. But again, Rabba, I assume, also knew the halacha. So I assume what he did was correct. I was thinking about what you, I also had the same thought that you had, but I would assume that he's doing the correct thing. That Rabba, who's the head of the yeshiva, he's doing the correct thing. So Rabba gives a gift based on the standards of the giver.
Yeah,
and also Mari Bar Mar also gives based on the standards of the giver. Now, why would you think it should be based on the giver or the receiver? What would be the reason to give based on the giver or the receiver? Either one.
Well, based on the giver, clearly you want to have, if you have the means, you don't want to, quote unquote, cheap out. You want to feel it. You don't want, if you're a millionaire, you don't want to give someone, a pack of Twizzlers because you just won't feel like you're really giving that much of yourself.
Okay, so if it's
also won't feel like they're receiving anything special from you.
If what?
I'm saying if you go to the multimillionaire and you ask him for some money and he gives you a quarter, that's not a gift.
You're saying from the perspective, the receiver always views the gift based on the perspective of the giver.
What you see here is that, what I see here is that each person gave according to their means. Each person gave the best that they could give. So Rabba, the best he could do was giving a sack full of dates and roasted flowers, so that's what he did. For Mari Barab to do that, that would be inappropriate. That's not a gift.
Even from the perspective of the receiver, that's not a gift.
Right. Mari Barab can appreciate the gift that he's receiving because look, this friend of mine, he gave me the best that he can have that he could. And Rabba could appreciate the gift that he received because, he gave me the best that he had.
Okay.
It's like when you go to a king. So they used to bring gifts to the king. Of course, you can't give the king something that he needs. You're not giving him a... But you have to give the best that you have.
Okay. So the reason why it should be based on the giver, I think there's two different reasons that are being presented right now. One would be that from the perspective of the giver, I have to give that which I could give, right? I would have to give that which I could give. If I'm somebody who's wealthy, so then I have to give a more expensive gift. And if I'm poor, so then I would have to give just based on my means. Because from the perspective of the giver, I just have to give based on my means. That's one perspective. Another perspective is that from the perspective of the receiver, the one receiving the gift, they are going to determine whether this is a significant gift or not based on the status of the giver. Meaning it's not coming from the perspective of the giver, it's coming from the perspective of the receiver, but the receiver will always determine how significant the gift is based on the means of the giver.
If the giver... Why are those two separate things? If what we're trying to achieve is friendship, so you need both those things. If I need to be a giver and give something substantial to you, and you need to receive something which was at least perceived as something substantial for me. It may not be substantial to you.
So if it's from the perspective of friendship, so then you're correct. If it's from the perspective of friendship, you're right. It would be both ideas. Why would you think that maybe it has to be based on the perspective, based on the receiver? Let's say based on how the receiver would, based on the means of the receiver. Meaning if the person that you're giving it to is wealthy, so then you would have to give them a more significant gift than if they are not as wealthy. We're not talking about Matan Salvionim here, I'm not talking about somebody who's poor, but in terms of just Shalach Manos, maybe your gift would have to be based on the status of the receiver, not based on the giver. Why would you think such a thing?
If you paid attention to the Ran. Right.
Explain.
Well, because the Ran's all about the status of the receiver.
The Ran is based on the status of the receiver.
If somebody's poor or wealthy, you have to adjust what you're giving. I mean, he conflates both types of giving on Purim. But if you're thinking along those lines,
excellent.
Then it's all
So then according to the Ran said that a poor person only needs one portion, and a wealthy person needs two portions. That's what the Ran said. Now, if it's all based on the giver, so then both the poor person and the wealthy person will just say, I don't care what I get, it's just based on what they could give. It's not based on what I'm getting, it's based on what they have the ability to give. So according to the Ran, it would seem that it shouldn't be based on the giver, but it should really be based on the receiver, that what the receiver could get. Now, within that, you're right, that's according to the Ran. But then you have to figure out, according to the Ran, why is this true? Why is it based on how the receiver is going to perceive it for himself, as opposed to based on how they view the giver? Like, why according to the Ran, is this true?
You see that in this, the last part we read, that the gold gifts were lost on the receiver. Rabbi didn't understand, he thought that his gift was pungent, but really it was like quite an exquisite, expensive gift. And Bar-Mari thought that it was...
Well, you don't know what he thought. We know what Abaye thought, who was the messenger.
Yes.
You don't really know what he thought.
This
is all the messenger you're talking.
Exactly.
Which is also interesting. I'm not sure what to do with that. It's a little interesting that Abaye.
It does sound like Abaye saying that they were both wrong.
It's like if you have a wine connoisseur and you bring a pack of Budweiser to someone who loves wine, it's not gonna.
You're saying according to Abaye, what they were doing was wrong, which would fit more like the Ron. I'm not sure exactly how to interpret the story, whether to say that what they're doing was right or what they're doing was wrong.
Right and wrong. It's given by based on the receiver, you have to sort of transcend your own opinion of what's good and think, well, what would this person like? Like, if I know that somebody doesn't eat sugary cakes, for example, I'm not going to give them sugary cakes from yourself, Mars.
Yeah,
correct.
Because Abaye is judging the gift in both the gifts in both directions.
He is judging them. Yeah.
And there's a recognition that these peppers that are coming back to Rabba are an expensive gift, but that's not the point that Abaye says. He says he's going to interpret this. I gave him something sweet. Now I'm getting something pungent in return. It's not about the value; it's the quality of the gift.
Right.
And so I what you're saying is that you need to have in mind the receiver in terms of the nature of the gift.
Correct.
It's not just the value.
Yeah, so it's true. That is a Abaye. In the end, I'm not sure if we could come to a conclusion within the story, but the story is highlighting, do we focus on the giver or do we focus on the receiver? That's definitely what the story is highlighting. According to Abaye, you're right, Abaye seems to be saying that we should focus more on the receiver, how the receiver is going to perceive it. And according to Rabba and Mari Bar Mar, both of them, it seems to be that the focus is on the giver. Just to give a potential explanation for this as to what this dispute is about, there's another dispute as to what the purpose of Shalach Manos is about. Why do we give Shalach Manos? This is a broader discussion. Why do we give Shalach Manos? And there are basically two opinions that are given. One is to create this concept of reyus, of friendship. And there's another one which is that it's for the purpose of the Suda, which I don't know if it's independent of friendship or not, but it's really, the reason why you have to give Shalach Manos is that it's so that they have food for the Suda of Purim. They need something which is specific for the Suda of Purim. If it's for the Suda of Purim, if it's for their Suda that they're going to have, so then it makes sense that you're going to give based on the receiver. Because it's based on what they're actually going to use for that meal. It's based on it could be about friendship, but if it's also about the meal, so then you'd have to give them something that they would use for the meal. If you're going to give them something which is lower than the normal standards, so then they're not going to use it for their own meal. So if you would, it could be that it's based on the receiver. The idea that of Abaye that it should go based on the receiver is if the idea of Shalach Manos is that it goes based on the meal, that this should be for their meal, so then it has to be based on their standards. It's possible that the other opinion, Rabba and Mari Bar Mar, are of the opinion that it goes based on the giver because it's not about whether they're actually going to use this or not. It's really about whether this causes friendship. And whether this causes friendship or not is based on the means of the giver, not based on the receiver. So it's possible to explain these two different perspective is based on what the idea is of Shalach Manos. That if Shalach Manos is about the meal itself, so then it has to be something which they're actually going to use for the meal. And if it's about just creating this concept of friendship, so then it doesn't have to be for the meal specifically. It could just be that it's a way of showing that they have this this friendship, and then it would be based on the giver. So once we have this idea, just to
That seems to me to be a particularly dangerous approach.
Which one?
The approach that you've got to judge this from the position of the giver. That's what you're saying now, right?
That's definitely one perspective
because
he's
going to give two gifts to somebody potentially much wealthier than him, which means he's going to be hard-pressed to...
Well, he doesn't have to give it to somebody that's wealthier than him. He's not forced to find the wealthiest person in town and give it to them. He can find somebody who is of equal stature. He's not forced to be in that situation.
Well, if the guy's giving to him, I mean, isn't it kind of common practice that he's going to
reciprocate?
Well, he might reciprocate, but in terms of just fulfilling the obligation of Shalach Manos, that might not be where he fulfills it. He can fulfill it by giving it to somebody else of equal stature, meaning that he gives something in return because those are the social norms, but not because he's fulfilling Shalach Manos necessarily. But based on this idea of giver-receiver, this actually has halakhic ramifications. Because what happens, like the case, what happens if I give to somebody where I know that they're allergic to it?
Allergic to it?
Or whatever it is. They're either allergic or they have higher standards of kashrus, that you know that they're not going to eat it. Let's say if you know that they're stringent on Chalav Yisrael, let's say. And you give them milk that's not Chalav Yisrael, or that's Chalav Stam. So you know they're not going to have it. So did you fulfill Shalach Manos by giving them something that they won't have? Or if they're allergic to it, or you just know that they don't like it. Or if it's fish, and you don't like fish, apparently. So have you fulfilled Shalach Manos or not? So that really depends on this whole issue. Do we go from the perspective of the giver, or do we go from the perspective of the receiver? Because from the perspective of the giver, at least the person receiving it, I don't think the person receiving it will assume that they're giving me something which they know that I can't use. They'll just think that they made a mistake. So it accomplishes friendship, but at the same time, they can't use it for their meal. They won't be able to use it for their Purim Suda.
One could argue that's not very friendly.
But it's true, but the question is, if you ever received a gift where you can't use it, would you assume that they did that intentionally? Yeah. Or did they do that and they just forgot about the fact that you had allergies to that specific food?
I thought that it was an assumption that there was some kind of possibility that I might, that the receiver might not be able to use it.
No, the receiver can't use it.
Right.
Oh, I don't... Yeah, I don't know if the giver knows that, or knows or doesn't know. Even if the giver doesn't know, you might not be able to fill Shalach Manos without, if the person can't use it. If it's for the purpose of the meal, so then the receiver can't use it. This also, it has, let's say, other ramifications. There's also a discussion of, let's say, instead of giving Shalach Manos of actual food, am I allowed to give something else other than food? Could I give a nice note or a nice Dvar Torah? So that's also part of the discussion. So then it depends if it's for friendship or if it's really for the meal. If it's for the meal, so then it's hard to make the claim that giving a Dvar Torah would suffice. But perhaps it could. Perhaps it could if it's for the meal. But if it's for friendship, so then it could be something beyond just food. You could give other things other than food. There's also part of this discussion is, does the receiver have to know who gave it? Do they have to know who gave it? Like,
well, if it's for friendship, you can't be anonymous.
Oh, if it's for friendship, it can't be anonymous. Mm-hmm. If it's for friendship, it can't be anonymous. If it's for the meal, so then, and it has nothing to do with friendship, assuming that opinion is that purely for the meal and nothing to do with friendship, so then I could give it anonymously. Because they don't have to know who gave it. But if it's about friendship, so then it makes more sense to say that they would have to know who gave it. And there were even some who... who were stringent to make sure that they looked at the bags that they received to make sure that they, you don't always see who's giving it to you. Some people just leave it by the door. So they would make sure to see who gave it to them to accomplish this this fulfillment of to fulfill this idea of friendship. They would want to know who gave it to them. So these are some of the various halachic ramifications in terms of this story about whether we go based on the receiver or the giver. Is it based on the idea, potentially, is this based on the idea of creating friendship, or is this based on the idea of the fact that they have something where they can now use this in their own, at their own meal? That's what comes out of this story. So now let's discuss this last story, which is also a very interesting story. This is the last story that the Gemara discusses. Abaye bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, mechafri sudasid lahadadi. So Abaye bar Avin and Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, I'm not sure if they're brothers or not, but they would exchange meals with each other. They traded meals with each other. So before looking ahead, so what would you think this means?
They're sitting at the table and you take my plate, I take your plate.
That's what I would think would mean as well. That you take my plate, I take your plate. Right? That they switch. They switch meals.
Are you eating at the same suda, or he brought his meal over to his house and he brought his meal over to his house?
I'm not sure. You're assuming that it's at the same meal, but I'm not sure if it makes a difference. Oh, is it if it's the same food?
So you go to a wedding, right?
And I'm assuming that each one has prepared their own meal.
Yeah, I assume each one. It seems like each one had their own meal. Okay. That's my guess. We'll see what the Rishonim say on this in a second. But and they trade meals. So they trade meals. So we'll first see the Ran, which I think is similar to what everybody else is saying, and then we'll see the next opinion, which is Rashi. The Ran, which is source 8, says, Mechafen sudasayhu, they trade meals. Why are they doing this? Why are they trading meals with each other? It seems like this was pre-planned, right? This was, they had intention to switch meals. Why? So the Ran says, Shelo hayilacha mehem kadesh yuchal l'shalech l'chavero v'lahashir l'atzma. They were so poor that they did not have enough food where if they gave Shalach Manos, they would have any food for themselves. They didn't have enough food for themselves if they were to give their own portion to somebody else. So therefore, both of them. Therefore, they came up with this plan. They would trade with each other so that they could eat the Sudas Purim and so that they could fill Shalach Manos. Right? So they had this idea that we will trade with each other. Fine. Why would you... What's this coming to add? What would be the reason to say why this doesn't work for Shalach Manos? The Gemara is telling you this story to tell you something. So that means that there's a possibility to assume why this would not work. Why wouldn't it work for me to just trade with you for Shalach Manos?
It's a transaction versus a gift, seemingly.
It's a transaction versus a gift. Okay, what is it?
In other words, you're giving based on the fact that you're going to get something in return, whereas a real gift is you give without expectation of return.
Exactly.
You're assuming that they kind of planned
ahead. Conspiracy.
If you give me yours, I'll give you mine. They both fulfill it.
So it's not really a gift. It's not really a gift. It's all conditional.
Yeah. I'll give it to you if.
But if it weren't conditional, if it were.
It wasn't. They didn't state it as a condition. Like, I'm giving this to you on condition that you give me your meal. It wasn't stated, but it was implicit. That was the assumption. That was the going assumption that we would trade meals with each other.
Yeah. I think the use of the word switched. Basically it says, I'll give you mine if you give me yours.
Yeah. Even, I don't know if they said that explicitly. I'm not sure if they said that explicitly, but, or like, on condition. But that definitely was the intention. That
they
definitely was the intention. Yeah.
If the other guy showed up,
yeah.
If one of them showed up and didn't bring, the other one probably assumed to fulfill his word, but still give. You know? It wouldn't be like, oh.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. No. Then they would have nothing to eat for that day.
Pardon?
They wouldn't have anything to eat that day.
That's true.
The Ron says they only had this deal because they were so poor that they wouldn't have anything to eat unless they knew that they were going to get something in return.
Sounds like it was an ongoing arrangement they had.
No, it seems like it was an arrangement they had.
Where is the Reyes in it? Because it sounds like each one is like, okay, I'll give it to you because I have to. Shlach Manos, if you're trying to develop Reyes, it's because I want to give to you.
Well, there is Reyes. I think there still is. So the question is, so what we just said was, why would we think this doesn't work? So why doesn't it work is because this is viewed as a transaction instead of a gift. That's what we were saying until now. So now, why does it work?
It works because the symbolism is still important.
I think that's the idea. Why are we doing this transaction?
Because of the
transaction is meaning. Exactly. I'm just highlighting it. That the transaction is meaningless. I have my meal and you have your meal. We're both good for the day. So why are we doing this transaction to begin with? It's for the symbolism. It's for the symbolism of friendship. Mm. So it might look like a transaction, but it's a meaningless transaction. Because I could just have what I have, and you could have what you have, and we're good, we're fine. Mm. The very fact that we want to even have a transaction is itself symbolism of friendship. The fact that I want to give to you and you give to me is a symbolism of friendship.
Or it could reflect that they want to fulfill a halachic obligation.
It sounds like they're making each other the cheftza of the mitzvah.
Yeah.
You're saying that there's just like the set halacha of the fact that you have to give, so therefore...
Could be, that's a possible intention.
But we sometimes do mitzvahs because we have to and we don't necessarily feel like it.
Yeah.
And if you do it enough, hopefully you'll start feeling like it, right?
But if you don't do it properly... And you start developing a pattern that you can just do it any way you want.
I think the question was, why isn't this viewed as a transaction where this wouldn't even fulfill Shalach Manos? That was what we were assuming until now.
Because
this is a transaction.
Each one is making a meal for their friend. They're not making a meal for themselves. They're making a meal for their friend.
Which means that it's a symbolism. It's a gesture of friendship.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately it's more than just the fact that they want to fulfill Shalach Manos. It's not like, oh, we have this mitzvah that we have to fulfill, let us just trade. Because if that's the way to perceive it, so then I'm not sure if you would fulfill Shalach Manos through that. Because that's just then a transaction. That is in essence a transaction. But this is not just purely a transaction. This is interpreted as a meaningless transaction. Because I already have food and you have food. There's no reason to do this other than, I guess you could claim, other than to fulfill the mitzvah, but I'm not sure if you fulfill the mitzvah that way. Or it could be other than to show a gesture of friendship.
Or both. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. And
no, that's true. No, I agree. I agree to that. But you first have to show the gesture of friendship, and that's how you fulfill the mitzvah. I mean, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah through the gesture. If I don't have that gesture, if it's not expressed implicitly, I don't know if you have to express it outright, then I'm not sure if you fulfill the mitzvah. If the whole mitzvah is an idea of creating friendship, so then for me to just do this, just to fulfill the mitzvah, but not to create friendship, I'm not sure if you've accomplished anything. Mm-hmm. So they're doing this as a gesture of friendship, and then through doing that, they fulfill the mitzvah. So that's what I would assume the conclusion is. That's all the opinion of the Ran. The Ran says that Mechafisu Dasayu means that they traded. They traded meals. Okay. Rashi has a very different explanation. Mm. Rashi's explanation is really, it's fascinating. And I think it's also fascinating from two perspectives. One is because he disagrees with the Ran, and also from his own understanding. Rashi says, Mechafi sudasayu, that they switch meals. What does it mean? Ze ochel im ze beporim shoshana zu, ubishnia so'ed chavero imo. What does that mean? That they switch meals? It's not that they switch meals in the same year. It means that I will be a guest by you for 1 year, and then you'll be my guest the next year.
Isn't that the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Suda as opposed to Mishloach Manos?
So the big question is, what is Rashi saying? Mm. I, by being a guest, am fulfilling Shalach Manos?
You know what?
What did I give this year?
The Gemara doesn't.
None, I'm a guest.
Anything about Shlach Manot here? The Pshat of the Gemara doesn't say anything about Shlach Manot. It's the Ran that introduced that concept.
No. No.
No, the Gemara is giving three stories, one after another, about Shlach Manos. What would this fulfill?
Suda.
Custom.
No, the Gemara is not discussing the Suda at that point. It's three stories. It's clear in the Gemara that we're discussing, I think.
Oh,
that it's discussing Shlach Manos, because they quote the halacha of Shlach Manos, then they have three stories about Shlach Manos, then they go into a new topic. So, and like I even have to... I would have to check. It's possible that even Rashi, in a different Rashi on this, says explicitly it's about Shalach Manos. And the Achronim also understand it as with regards to Shalach Manos. But he says that for the first year, I am your guest. For the second year, you're my guest. And we fulfill Shalach Manos. Everyone fulfills Shalach Manos. So how do I fulfill Shalach Manos the first year, and how do you fulfill Shalach Manos the second year? I'm the guest the first year, you're the guest the second year. Did I give anything? I didn't give a thing the first year, and you didn't give a thing the second year. So how do we fulfill Shalach Manos? So that's the big question in Rashi, which a lot deal with. And Rashi has a fascinating idea that what would come out of Rashi is that the purpose of Shalach Manos is to create friendship, and that the ultimate way of creating friendship is not just to give a gift, but the ultimate way of creating Shalach Manos is by having a meal together. Mm-hmm. By having that meal together, we both fulfill Shalach Manos. Even if I'm not giving anything. I give absolutely nothing. But I'm just sitting with you at a meal, so that itself could perhaps be the highest form of Shalach Manos. Because we're having a meal together. And that could be the highest form of friendship. So we'll switch meals so that we're poor. He doesn't say explicitly, I don't think, that we're poor. But I assume that they're having this because we're poor, so we'll have this agreement that you'll be my guest 1 year, I'll be your guest the other year, and we both fulfill Shalach Manos, even though in both years, one party is not giving anything. They're not contributing at all. So just purely by being a guest, you're fulfilling Shalach Manos as a guest. Which is a beautiful idea, that whenever we have guests, so then that's that concept of having guests at a meal could perhaps be understood as the highest form of Shalach Manos, of having that highest form of friendship. It's greater than just giving a gift to somebody. You're actually inviting them to your home and creating this suda for Pur.
This would suggest that being a guest is also fulfilling.
Yeah, acting as a guest. Not just the host. Not just the host. That acting as a guest would fulfill Shalach Manos.
Only if I guest host the following year.
No, I don't know if that's true. That just happens to be the deal.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure if that's. I'm not sure if it has to. If that's
no,
necessary.
It sounds like that.
You're right. That's what occurred. So I'm not sure if it's necessary that it's on condition that you host the next year, or the reason why they have this deal is because they're both poor. So they're like, okay, we have to. We'll make it that you'll host 1 year, I'll host the next year, so that we swap. But
It strikes me as a very powerful statement to the notion of that there's a gift in being a gracious receiver, like just generally, that for every act of bestowing, you need somebody there to actually receive what you're giving, and that in and of itself is a gift. People out there to receive and hopefully receive graciously, there's no giving and there's no opportunity to give. And
through receiving, you're giving back to the.
You're giving. You're giving back. A recipient. Being a recipient is
a form of giving.
Is a form of giving because it creates a relationship.
So I think that would be an explanation of Rashi. This is a very difficult Rashi. Just to clarify that this is discussed and a lot of the Achronim have difficulty with this Rashi. Yeah.
To me, it seems like the Gemara is talking about the Suda, because after the Gemara that we just did about the ginger and the pepper, the Gemara says that when Abaye went when he delivered the Mishloach Manos to the Beit Bamar, so it says that they served them 60 plates of 60 different kinds of cooked dishes, and then he had pot roast, and then he was so hungry that it said he could chew the plate afterwards. And it goes through, it's a whole story about him eating a suda there. And then it goes on to this Gemara about Abai bar Abin and Ruchanin bar Abin. And then the next Gemara is Mechayev Nishal Basumi Bibarai, which is also suda related.
I think the whole Shalchmanas idea might be suda related.
But there is a separate mitzvah of suda, so maybe.
I know, but that's not. The discussion doesn't take place over there. That's not where the discussion takes place of suda. It's within the context of Shalchmanos, and Shalchmanos also assume that it's within the context of Shalchmanos.
In Rashi.
In Rashi, yeah. They ask in Rashi. They have difficulty with this Rashi. The last point that I want to mention is, why didn't Rashi say simply like the Ran? Rashi is coming up with this fancy explanation to say that as a guest, you're also the receiver. The receiver is the giver. The explanation that we want to give here, which is not a simple way of understanding it. It is a chiddush. So why didn't Rashi just say like the Ran? Mechafi Sudu Desai means that we traded meals. That's the simple explanation. When I first asked you, what does Mechafi Sudu Desai mean to exchange meals? Everyone said, just like the Ran, that we traded meals. So why does Rashi not say like the Ran to say that we traded meals? So I think the idea is that the Ran is going according to his own opinion. He is Lishitaso. He's going to his opinion. What does the Ran say? The Ran says that the concept of the Shalach Manos is the same thing as Matanos Levyon. Everyone has to give based on their own needs, based on the receiver's needs. Yeah, sorry, based on the receiver's needs. That what's significant to the receiver, that's what you have to give. So somebody who's wealthy needs to have two portions. Somebody who's poor has to have one portion. Because for the poor person, so then one portion is viewed as significant. For the wealthy person, two portions are viewed as significant. So when I trade with you, says the Ran, I'm giving you just what I would have. So that's viewed as significant. For each of us, it's viewed as significant. The other way of understanding Shalach Manos, which we suggested already last week, was that Shalach Manos is very different than Matanos Levyonim. Matanos Levyonim is about giving what a person needs. Shalach Manos is about going above and beyond. If we were to just exchange, to have a trade, so then that's not going above and beyond. That's just, I know that you have your meal and I have my meal. I'm going to give you, we're going to switch and have the exact same thing. I'm not going above and beyond. We're switching the same meal. So that's not above and beyond. Shalach Manos is about giving two portions. It's about going way beyond what's necessary for that basic meal. So then that's perhaps why Rashi doesn't want to say like the Ran. Because to make that trade, to trade that off, so then that wouldn't fulfill Shalach Manos. Shalach Manos is about going beyond. It's not just for a trade. So therefore, Rashi doesn't want to say like the Ran, that we're trading, because trading wouldn't be the idea of Shalach Manos, which is about doing more than what's necessary. This is about just trading what is necessary. This isn't more than what's necessary. And so therefore, Rashi has to come up with a different explanation of Mechafis to the Sayu. And so he gives this other explanation, which is a more difficult explanation, which could be understood from a certain angle, but it is a more difficult explanation about being a guest. So just to conclude, we had three stories about Shalach Manos, and each of them highlights different ideas. The first story, which is what we dealt with last week, was the story about fulfilling Matanos Levyonim with a less valuable gift, and then Shalach Manos is about giving a more valuable gift, which to the same person, even to the same person, which seems to highlight the idea that Shalach Manos is about giving more than the necessary meal. It's about going above and beyond that. The second story is what we did tonight, was the question as to whether we're supposed to give from the perspective of the giver or give from the perspective of the receiver. And that was the discussion from the second story. And then this third story, depending on how you interpret this third story, there's a dispute about this third story, but it's about trading. So either it's teaching you that you're allowed to trade, that having that trade is sufficient, which is the opinion of the Ran, or you have this other idea of Rashi, which says that acting as a guest itself allows you to fulfill Shalach Manos, because being a guest itself is a form of giving, because it's a form of creating that friendship. You need to have that receiver in order to create that friendship, and by being that guest, you are fulfilling Shalach Manos, even if you don't actually give anything. You're not actively participating in the meal by providing anything for that meal, but just by being the guest, by being present, will allow you to fulfill Shalach Manos, which is a very interesting idea. So these are the three stories, which highlight different ideas in terms of Shalach Manos. And so